Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Capers gonna fill it up and it made him feel sick. So he thought he better eat the rest really real quick.
Capers. Hello and welcome to Student Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Alistair Trombley Birchall, George Williams.
And I'm Andy. Hello. And my opening song was entitled Al Ate a Curry and It Made Him Feel Sick. So he thought he'd better eat the rest really, really quick.
I made a curry with way too much curry paste because I used up half of the curry paste in the jar. And then because it said, put in half first and then marinate that with the yogurt and put the chicken in there.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until the chicken was marinating that I saw that it actually meant put half of the 4 teaspoons that they want in the thing rather than the half, this very large jar. Anyway, and then I made it and it was delicious because I'm trying to figure out how to make a good butter chicken at home.
Mm.
Right. And then I ate it and it was good. It was a bit spicy, a bit intense maybe.
Sure.
But still delicious. And then I got the craziest indigestion, right? But then the next day I was like, I think I've recovered from that indigestion, even though it kept me up all night. And there was so much of that chicken. There was a whole kilo of chicken you put in the thing. So I was like, well, I don't want it to go to waste. And so then I ate it again, this time literally drinking cream beforehand. To try to line my stomach with dairy, right? And then after each mouthful, like having a bit of yogurt and then sometimes sipping from the like little 600 ml bottle of cream.
Yeah.
Right. And then I was like, I'm gonna fix this. I think the key to stopping indigestion is having lots of really rich cream. Anyway, I thought it was the spice, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so since then, it's been days now. My stomach has been fucked up. And I'm like, oh, I've become a guy with stomach problems because of this. It's just, it's burnt all the way up. It's just acid burned.
Mm. Mm. I love one of my favorite bits of this is imagining a conversation you're having with your beloved where she's like, did you read the instructions? You're like, yes, of course I read the instructions. She says, did you read the instructions before you made the meal? Well, no.
Well, the bigger shame was going to her saying, I ate some more again and it's made me feel bad again.
I did it again.
I did it again. I couldn't stop myself.
Now, I mean, maybe a way to solve a problem like this would be to print the instructions directly onto the food. Now, I realize the food in this case is a sort of a liquidy gel type paste. Very traditionally a very difficult thing to print onto. More likely a thing that you would print with. But you can print
onto a birthday cake.
If you can,
sometimes even a photo now. And that's a cream, you know, like that's icing. Icing is very much just dessert paste.
If there was a way to some... You're absolutely right. If there was a way to somehow... I am picturing using a piping bag to make a plate of curry, big sloppy curry, and then using one of those piping bags to pipe a bit of extra curry paste on top of the curry to write a message like happy birthday, Alistair George William Trombley Birchall or something like that.
Sure. Maybe you could do it with the yogurt or what's that you know, that mint sauce that they sometimes give you with the papadums?
I mean, both of those almost sound like good ideas. But in my version...
Oh, you're right. I apologize.
It's a bad idea and it would probably look disgusting.
Yeah. Because it's the uncooked paste. Usually you have to fry it up for a fair while. Do you think that would, is that part of your plan? I'm just trying to find out how bad of an idea you're trying to make.
Yeah. I mean, it can be as bad as, that's what's great about this idea, is it's scalable to the level of badness that you'd like it to be at. Maybe, although we could also invent a piping bag that has a little element in the nozzle so that it can fry the sauce as it comes out, if that's important to you. Like a hot glue gun. Oh, this is a great idea. Hot glue gun, but for sticks for frying, of curry paste.
Yeah, and then if they were selling it in sticks, where would they put the instructions? Is this a sort of like a bagless scenario?
Oh.
So that people don't have to use all that packaging.
Mm.
Do they just sell sticks of curry paste at a shop, and then they just have the instructions there written there on a chalkboard?
I have an
when
idea.
You buy the stick, and I guess you have to take a photo of it with your phone, or you got to just call them up on the day and say, "Hey, can you take a photo of it and send it to me?"
We're trying to reduce use of packaging. Text me the instructions from the back of the packet. They have it. Alistair, could we tell me, you're a cheese man. You've worked in cheese. You know about cheese.
A cheesesman. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're talking about all my cheese factory experience.
That's right. Could we
put
a bigger stringer, one of those cheese sticks, could we put that into the back of a hot glue gun and use that, use the glue gun to melt the cheese stick? And thereby have a sort of a cheese gun, a hot cheese gun that we could use again to write on things, to 3D print out, you know, cheese, cheese liquid.
Yeah, well, I'm really interested about the stringer because I know a stringer is very much a processed cheese. So it probably has been melted or something at some point, or at least blended. Mm. But then it's also, why does it have such good, like, sort of vertical strength and such weak horizontal strength?
Yeah, it's interesting.
You know what I mean? Because, like, it allows you to pick at it. It's got those, you know, those cleavages, like if you're cutting diamonds.
You can peel it away in that way.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess maybe I'm only just thinking about the quality in terms of, like, is this going to be your best melting cheese?
Mm, sure.
Andy, I don't want to – but, what? I mean – what I'm saying is that, yes, you could melt a cheese like that and write things with it. I just don't know if the stringer is the best way to go.
I mean, I guess I was drawn to it simply because it's already in that, you know, that tube stick-like shape of the... Of course, and I don't want to have to do a whole lot of R&D and, you know, stuff around getting other cheeses into that shape.
Yeah, yeah. I guess... So you don't even want to have to, like, design a new machine that might have like a rectangular thing, shape or something like that.
You could just cut up
a kilo block. Yeah, right.
No,
okay.
No. You know, I want to be able to use an off-the-shelf hot glue gun from Bunnings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it would be great if you could, if you had a you know, like a hot bit at the back of the glue gun so that you could just push any shape thing in, you know, and then it would just melt the edges off. And then you could, you know, the bit that you want really would just fit in perfectly. You could just push a full kilo block into it.
Oh.
And just throw away the rest.
I mean, I love the idea of trialing this and seeing whether or not we could use cheese then to stick Doritos or nacho chips together and construct a kind of a building.
What I was picturing just then was, imagine being able to use like a, you know, half a kilo block of cheese, put it on an upside down iron,
clothes iron,
and use it as like a trowel, or you know, to do like, you know, multiple chips at a time.
Yeah.
If you lay them all out, and you can just kind of. Like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be good. Or you could just have it upside down and then let it melt there. And then you get a butter knife or something like that. And you just sort of pull bits off and then scrape it on.
Yeah. So you're using it like mortar in a bricklayer's trowel to.
I mean, I think you'll find that you were using yours as mortar
I was as well. Well, I was using mine perhaps more like glue. To be fair, and you were using yours more. Well, let the listeners decide whether or not you were using yours more like mortar than I was using mine like mortar. Because I feel like is going to degenerate. I feel like I'm on the precipice of something.
Andy, were you talking about the edges of the chips?
The corners.
Talking about along the faces of the chips?
The corners.
Just the corners. Yeah. Well, I don't think you said corners.
No, but I was talking about...
I don't think anybody... I think it would be insane for any listener to assume you were talking about corners, the last place you'd probably put chip. But yeah, I guess you put glue on a chip. But you were picturing like making a geodesic dome or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. I was building something a bit more like a house of cards or something like that. But you know, I'm willing to create a new shaped chip. It was just a new shaped cheese that I wasn't interested in. Cheese, kilo blocks of cheese already are a lot like bricks, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. That's true. But they're so, when you melt them, they're so much like mortar. Mm.
They really are both. I wonder if you could, it feels like they could be the perfect construction material. You might be able to construct an entire house out of cheese blocks just with a special hot knife that you run along the edge there, the top of each layer, to pre-melt them so you can then join on the next layer of cheese bricks.
You know where it would be an improvement?
Mm.
Like in the, you know, in the near Arctic, where people are making igloos, right? Because the cheese brick, whilst it's not perfect, right, it can still melt at high heat.
Mm.
Still, it has a higher melting point
than ice,
snow, and ice. Yeah.
And if we're talking about climate adaptation and preparing for the future, and you know, particularly, I think it is. Marginalized communities and cultures like that are going to suffer the most in a lot of ways. I think taking cheese to the Arctic, replacing the ice, what is currently a very low melting point, ice-based economy and building technique with the slightly higher temperature cheese is very promising.
That's right. And I think also as the temperatures go up, it becomes more viable to have cattle there, which then brings your delivery costs down.
Yes, and increases the amount of methane in the atmosphere, thereby speeding up the heating to the point where
the
cheese will no longer be useful.
Yeah, well, no, but I mean, what you're trying to do is you're just trying to push igloos out for now.
Yes. Oh, yes, I am.
You know, we're just trying to get into that beautiful window there. Sorry, there was a little child yelling.
No,
yelling
that's
my
fine.
Name, which is Daddy.
Big Daddy. Have we written down anything yet, Alistair?
I've written down the cheese glue gun and cheese bricks as climate adaptation to igloos.
Great. Terrific.
The cheese glue gun, I don't think we've gone deep into it.
I wonder, but what would be really great, I'll tell you what would be fantastic, would be discovering a water version of rennet. Is that how that word's pronounced? Rennet? That enzyme that they put in milk to make it turn into cheese? I think it comes from inside calves' stomachs. Basically, it turns... the liquid milk into the solid cheese. It'd be great to find a one that does that for water, an enzyme.
Oh, like water cheese.
Then we could make water cheese, but also we could turn all this extra water that we have because of rising sea levels into solid.
Into bricks.
Indeed, bricks, possibly to build the very sea walls that we will use. Or when you see the wave coming towards you, you could just spray it. Have a little thing of this in your pocket. Spray it.
Be like Frozone. It'll be like Frozone from The Incredibles. But instead, you're turning it into water cheese. How do you write this word, rennet?
R-E-N-N-E-T, I believe. I assume.
R-E-N-N-E-T. But for water. But for turning... water into its own cheese. I mean, but then searching the world for enzymes like this that can turn any liquid into a solid, you know, does it have to sort of sit with it for a few weeks You know, does it have to sit, or does it happen instantly?
I mean, ideally it would be instant because, you know, in my mind, you see the water rising, you see a tidal wave coming towards you, you get out your little spray from your pocket, you squirt it, it turns into a solid like that, and then, well, you know, you can...
There is that eel.
Mm.
There is that eel that releases that kind of goopy...
That's right.
Like, and it basically does release a tiny little bit of a chemical, and then it makes it a kind of sludgy thing. Essentially, it can then hold a bunch of water, but it becomes like...
Feels like we're well on our way.
Yeah. I mean, that would be great for like towns that are about to flood.
Mm.
And you just kind of... Maybe if you drank a capsule of it, right?
Mm.
And it allowed you to pee it out? I don't know why.
It seems like it would be a dangerous thing to have in your system. But go on.
Oh, that's probably true. Yeah. I mean, it's a great way of widening your urethra.
Mm. boring it out like the cylinder of a high-octane vehicle.
That's right.
Is anybody going along to the plastic surgeons and saying, can I have my urethra widened? I want to be able to deliver the payload much more quickly.
But look, I mean, I guess you just run to the edge of town and sprinkle it, maybe, I guess. But if you have put it on your fingers, mm-hmm. I guess some of the water in your fingers could get all swollen.
Mm-hmm. That's the risk. I think what we're describing, actually, I've realized, is Ice Nine from Cat's Cradle by Kurt Vonnegut, where they discover something that turns any water it touches into ice, but at any temperature. It's a new form of water or a new molecule or something that just rearranges the water molecules and makes them a solid, and it causes an apocalypse. It freezes all the water on Earth. But we don't want to do that. Ours is more localized, and I'm sure that wouldn't be a problem. I don't think – ours is basically Ice Nine. It's the book, Cat's Cradle, but without – any of the interesting consequences.
Exactly. I think it would be nice to read something where not everything goes wrong.
Mm. Bring us more of this topia fiction.
Mm. Yeah. Is the U, is that a prefix that's necessary for things being good?
I think if you're talking about a topia, yes.
Yeah. Okay. What about it? Anything else?
Let's see.
Uranium?
Mm. Uganda?
You know? Uganda?
Unicycle?
What was the last thing? Wait. So what was the last? Okay, we're trying to talk about the... Oh, yeah. Its own solid... cheese, sorry.
Mm. Water
sorry,
cheese.
I forgot to put that word there.
Mm.
Water cheese. Do you think it would taste different? Do you think the enzyme adds a flavor to it? Because I guess that's what happens with cheese.
I mean, it would be great to, because I don't think that water has much of a flavor. But if it does, it would be fantastic to amplify that flavor as much as possible and get a really intense version of it. I'm sure kids would be really into that, you know, concentrating and taking water. Oh, that would be a really great sort of fake teen concern for parents, where basically kids are evaporating water, right? They're getting water, they're evaporating it down to a very small amount of water to concentrate the water, and then they're drinking that very, very concentrated water to get extremely hydrated, like get really intensely hydrated off a tiny amount, a dangerous level of hydration, and it has some sort of... some sort of effect on their brains, and parents are terrified about these consequences of this concentrated water.
My kid's gone all sloshy and waterlogged.
Yeah, great. They're sort of lying around on the ground. They basically become a human puddle.
And if you squeeze your kid a little bit, their skin, like water drips out.
That's one way that you can tell if your kids have been doing it.
You push them. You just touch them on their shirt, and if their shirt instantly gets wet from the water squeezing out of their body,
that's great. I mean, what we're describing is sweat, but I think that's a good thing for parents to be worried about. It's called soaking. This thing that kids are doing.
The kids are soaking. they're concentrating water. It's because you've basically taken the process of distilling.
Yeah.
But with the other, that's really
completely
good.
Completely misunderstood.
Is it a I know, that's really good. Is there a way that you can, like, would you say, is it just, would you want it as that exact perfect dumbness like that?
Mm.
Or would you try to create some special type of evaporating that you could do?
I think I want the perfect dumbness. Yeah. You know, like, I feel like there can be more lingo, and maybe they could even have a different word for what they're doing. But I think it is essentially just evaporating. Like, you know, you could even have teens doing it with just a little bit of water in a teaspoon and then putting a cigarette lighter underneath to evaporate the water.
Yeah. And I think just drinking it. And whatever – it just depends on how much water – you've started with, mm-hmm. and then how much water you end up with.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like however big the pot is, that's how much you're going to get hydrated when you have the.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a 25x concentration water bottle. He hadn't realized.
They were overdosing. He drank an entire year's worth of water in one cup.
This guy had. Some found a way using a giant magnifying glass to evaporate a whole swimming pool using the heat from the sun.
What you got to do is if your kid does do this, you come home and you find your kid like has been soaking and they are like a puddle on the ground. You got to get some of those little silica sachets that says do not eat, tear them all open and pour them into the kid's mouth as quickly as possible. Force them to swallow them.
Yeah, because the bad bit to eat is actually the
paper,
the packaging. Yeah, it's not good to eat paper.
Yeah,
you gotta put your kid in a bath of rice, soak them in there.
I mean, it'd be great to find a way to prepare that silica gel, like they do with those poisonous blowfish in Japan.
Yeah.
That they're able to prepare the silica gel in such a way that you can eat it safely.
Sure, like those guys who are like from Russia who said that they know how to take brake fluid and turn it into alcohol or whatever.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it was wiper fluid or something like that. I can't remember. Or maybe the wiper fluid is the one that the French were found to have put into. Which I can't imagine that wiper fluid would be cheaper
that
than
much
wine.
Cheap, yeah. Yeah, exactly. We got so much wiper fluid. We got unlimited quantities.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What was that I was watching? Oh, well, that's right. I just saw somebody's Instagram sketch and I enjoyed it. But the guy was like talking about how you could the sketch was just like a guy revealing that you can actually, your car can run on pee-pee, right? And he was like pissing into the gas tank. And he's like, I just drink Mountain Dew or I just drink Pepsi or something like that. And then I just pee into here. And so it's like, we don't need to like rely on the oil, you know, the oil companies and stuff like that, blah, blah, blah. We could just do pee-pee in here, you know, it's just turning Pepsi straight into petrol. And I was like, well, pretty sure I think Mountain Dew is more expensive than petrol.
But it's a joke, right?
Way more.
He's doing it as a joke.
It is a, I know it is a joke. Yeah. But I was just saying that there was a stupid logic in there, which it makes it sound like you're being freed.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Actually, you're locking yourself into a much more expensive way of driving.
I mean, there's always a catch, isn't there? Even with jokes, even with entirely fictional good ideas, there's always something. You're like, oh, it wouldn't really work, though, would it?
Well, that's what I'm just suggesting.
Also, Alistair, it doesn't run your car. That's the other problem.
I know, but that's fine. I think that's what the joke
is. That's the joke,
right?
Yeah.
But I mean, if he was just making it water, then his joke works again.
Yeah, but
like fully.
But I think then there's something more funny about drinking something else. And maybe that's part of the joke. Maybe it was part of the joke the whole time right. and you didn't even realize.
Oh, gosh. Here I was just not having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was his fault.
Yeah.
As it turns out, it was me. It was me. The logical inconsistency was all part of the gag.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
You know, I'll tell you what I like. I like a fractal. I like a fractal. How do you feel about a fractal? Something that's the same no matter how closely you look at it, all the way down. It's the same thing at any level of detail.
I like them a certain amount, but then there's only so many times you can look at them at different scales and see the same thing.
Yeah, well, when you've seen one, you've seen them all, haven't you? When you've seen a fractal at one level of magnification.
Yeah. I mean, there is, you know, it does feel like it's changing as you're moving a bit.
Yeah.
But then you're like, oh, but no, it's actually quite similar here as it was.
Just moving around. But, I mean, this would be a fractal, I was thinking, would be great for your instructions for making the curry, right? If we could, now I don't know how we'd do this, but if we could find a way to make the instructions for the curry be printed on the curry in full, and no matter how much you chop up or divide up the curry paste, you're still able to see the full instructions.
Like a broken mirror.
Like a broken mirror, yes.
You know how like a broken mirror, like it just contains all of the, you know, once it's broken, rather than showing one image, it shows you
the same image over and over again.
Same image over and over again.
Does it though?
Is there, yeah.
Does it?
Yeah, that's what's, yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool then. I love that.
Isn't that really?
But I mean,
so maybe is there some way that you could bake the curry into a mirror?
I think they'd have to
make it reflective.
I think your mirror
and write the instructions on yourself. Mine made a lot of sense.
Yeah. No, I think that is funny, Alistair. The instructions
were... but there's a bit of a logical...
So that you all if you eat mirrors and the instructions for preparing the mirror are written on you, then we've solved the problem.
No.
That's a very good solution to the problem.
But I was saying just make your curry reflective.
Yeah.
So I guess it's just put a lot of oil on there.
Yeah, okay.
You know, just find a way, maybe just like add a little liquid mercury or something like that to your meal. Flatten it out. Eat it on a flatter dish.
Yeah.
A lot of plates these days are too curved.
Mm.
You think plate, you think perfectly flat thing. But no. They do try to keep hold your hand, they baby you. Plate manufacturers thinking that you wouldn't be able to balance food on a sort of perfectly flat, convex.
Well, that's what I was going to say. We should invent the convex plate.
That's right.
And you're absolutely right. It doesn't baby you. It doesn't condescend to you. It's a
convex plate for adults.
For adults, it treats you like a grown up. finally, I feel respected. I don't have to keep it in at the edges.
You know, especially those ones that get really close to a bowl. You go, what do you think? You know, you think I just can't handle it. You think I'm a tiny child with wobbly hands.
I think this is a very funny idea, Alistair. At least it's very funny in the think tank universe. In the sense that any of our ideas are funny, this one is hilarious.
It'd be the perfect surface for drawing on with a cheese glue gun.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't want to be condescended to, but if you could use the cheese glue gun to construct a little cheese wall around the edges of my convex plate.
Even just put a little cheese speed bump so that none of the grapes just escape too fast. Yes. I have time to catch them.
Because what I have noticed about my – and I love it. I love my convex plate. But what I have noticed, one of the small downsides that I have noticed is, well, it's all downsides. All the sides go down. I don't know if you knew this, but the things keep falling off. So other than that, though, perfect. That's my only criticism.
one of the downsides is all of the downsides, Andy. This is... maybe I could do this as stand-up.
Yeah, I think you should.
Sorry.
Do it as stand-up. Do it as stand-up. You know what's great about it? You could just have an upside-down bowl.
I know. That's what I was thinking as well, yeah. But you know the problem with bowls?
They put a little thing at the bottom
there. A lot of the time. They put a little thing at the bottom because they're babying you.
Well, you think I can't eat out of this bowl without it tipping side to side? You think my spoon technique is so sloppy that I can't maintain this unstable point of equilibrium?
In a bowl in which like all the things I eat are liquid mostly?
They're self-leveling.
They're self-leveling. You know, that's right. I'm not even going to fucking buy any more crockery. I'm just going to start cutting balls in half.
Yeah.
Just go buy some rubber balls. I mean, why not eat out of a rubber bowl? Or off of the back of a rubber bowl when you're having steak or something like that.
Yeah. Why aren't we just eating directly off the table? I always have to wipe it down anyway at the end of the meal. Why don't we just slop the food straight onto the table?
Well, why aren't we eating off of a perfectly flat grill right over the stove?
I mean, and why is it that grill, a slatted grill that is directly over the sink? Right?
Yeah.
Like, why isn't the stove... The stove could drip through like a barbecue.
Yeah, that's true.
What are we doing?
Yeah. I mean, why do I even need to have a house? What, you think I can't survive with the wind and rain hitting me? That's insulting that you would insult me in that way.
Also, a duck can survive, but I can't. Okay. You're saying I'm not as good as a duck? Wow.
Yeah, that's stupid. Yeah. You're saying I'm worse than a duck. Even one of those like mangy yuck ducks that just live out in the park.
I think the idea of a guy just standing out in the rain, naked, because he's got a family and he's got a house. They all live in a house, but he is too proud to put on clothes or go inside.
Yeah, it's, what, you think I'll get too cold if I, what, you don't think I could handle the temperature drop?
I think that's great. I think, toxic masculinity has got into his brain. He's watched a lot of YouTube videos and he's decided that as the man of the house, it's feminine. It's very feminine. It's very unmanly to go inside when it rains. Or wear clothes. And he's just so bedraggled. So. His family's in there in front of the fire. They're waving to him and stuff.
Yeah, that's fine.
He's become radicalized.
They've. By. It's essentially like it's a. It's a more intense form of offense, taking offense from everything.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it's that place where the right and the left meet up again.
Yes.
You know, the left are apparently getting offended by everything. You know, you insult some minority. Oh, they get offended.
Just because you insulted a minority. Can't believe you got offended by that.
Oh,
people get offended by everything these days. Insulting minorities.
Minorities. we technically have 5 sketches, Andy.
Yeah, great.
What would you say if I was to start moving towards?
I can see you sidling towards those words from a listener, and I'm excited to hear them.
Yeah. Well, today's words come from Nick Bauer. I don't know if we've done a Nick Bauer recently, but...
Wonder if he's related to Jack Bauer from 24.
There's a chance. Yeah. Is Nick three... Is Nick... I was about to say three-dimensional, but I meant... what's fictional? Do you think Nick might be fictional?
Yeah, it could be.
Do we have any fictional listeners?
It's from the fictional extended universe.
Do you think that if I don't know why. I mean, I guess that's what like Alan Moore does in. But I mean, I do like the whole fictional extended universe, although that's not an idea that we've come up with really. Yeah. But do you think that if we had fictional listeners, we would have to make them up ourselves, or other factual listeners would have to could make them up?
I think we'd be crazy to limit it. I'd love to throw it open to the listeners. If you want to make up any more listeners, I think that's fine.
Yeah, if you want to send in the description of a listener, a fictional listener that listens to our show,
we'll give them a shout out.
We'll give them a shout out and put in a tiny little couple of line bio in there.
Yeah.
And then we'll also mentally count it as an extra listen on the stats.
Listener generated content, great. But listener generated listeners, that's even better as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I'm just going to write down fictional listeners. I think that's stupid, but that's what I like. All right. So today's words come from Nick Bauer. Possibly related to fictional possible listener Jack Bauer, even though it's spelt very differently. doesn't remove the possibility. I mean, we could just write him. If he's fictional, we could write him to be related.
Yes. doesn't make it any less likely. The fact that their surnames are different.
Andy, do you want to try and guess Nick Bauer's words?
The first word is pencil.
Don't overthink it. Sorry, I should have told you before.
Oh, no.
You said it to not overthink it. I think you overthought it because you didn't get it right.
Mm.
So that must be the reason. I'm sorry, Andy. The first word is gate.
Gate. Okay, keeper. Gatekeeper.
Yeah. Second word, don't overthink it.
Gatekeeper.
Don't overthink it. Andy, don't overthink it. Okay, god damn. Just give me a little window so I can say don't overthink it before you say the word. Okay. The second word is or.
Gate or. Just thinking about it.
Don't overthink it, Andy.
Oh, okay. Gate or mate. Gate or mate.
Oh, even though I feel like I managed to say it in time, I don't know if you might have done too much thinking. The last word is aid.
Gate or aid. Ah. It's like Gatorade.
Nick, I think Jack Bauer's possible relative was fucking with you.
Yeah, only a little bit, though. You know, that's okay.
Yeah. No, a tiny bit.
What this makes me think instantly is, of course, a friend of the show, the you got a door, you got a gym concept. Something that's like that. But for gates, you know, what is a gate but an outdoor door? A door, outdoor.
Do you ever picture that you got a door, you've got a gym, but it's spelled J-I-M?
I don't know, but I'm going to try that now. Is a door spelled A-D-O-R-E?
That could potentially work. I just picture it's like a man's skin.
Mm.
Sort of, you know, it could just be lycra or whatever, but you just slide it over a regular door and it looks like a man is standing there.
But it turns it into a man. It
turns your door into a man. And it just looks like there's a man always guarding
the door.
Your door, but really filling up the space. Mm.
Well, I mean, very often bodyguard, you know, guard type people, the kind of people who would guard a door, already do themselves look a lot like doors.
That's right. They do often fill up the space of a door. And so much so they usually have to stand to the side of it.
Mm. Mm. So, I mean, I think that's a great idea. Doorman, turning a door into a man. You got a doorman.
Sure.
You got a gym man.
No,
that's not.
No, but when you picture gate or raids, the word is it G A T E O R A I D?
No, I was picturing A D E. What
ADE.
Yeah. Is it, what is it? Is it AID?
AID.
Yeah. Because, you know, you could have AID as a short name, shortening for Adrian, like AID Edmondson, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. So, like, and so that would be somebody is either called Gate or Adrian.
Mm, yeah, exactly. Gate or AID.
So, do you want to be fenced in, or do you want a little bit of help?
In the sense of the
money for somebody who needs it.
Yes, indeed. Assistance. Gate or aid?
Aid.
I like swinging on a gate.
Let's see.
You know, obviously, as a kid, you're told that if you are going to climb over a gate, you got to climb over close to the hinges because of the leverage.
Of course, you put a lot of pressure. Yeah.
Damage that you do at the far end of the gate.
Do you think that they could just make a gate that's strong enough to withstand the heaviest man climbing over it at the furthest point?
Mm, oh, see, that'd be really nice. You can climb over this bad boy anywhere you want.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you know your parents love you.
Mm. Well, this would be like if you were the Elon Musk of gates pitching the Cybertruck at the at some sort of convention. You'd be touting the fact that with this gate, you can climb over it anywhere you want, even at the...
Oh, the cyber...
You know, it doesn't just have to be close to the fulcrum. You can be the way at the extreme point with the maximum mechanical advantage. And then you, the Elon Musk of gates, climb onto it. And obviously the gate breaks. they're in front of everybody.
Yeah.
It's the Cybergate.
That's what I was thinking as well. Yeah. Cybergate is.
It's very angular and it's made from. what is it? Titanium? Stainless steel?
It's like some weird reinforced. Like, I think the reason why it's so angular is because it's actually the metal is too hard to bend in complex ways.
At least that's a good story to tell. It's too hard. It's too good to look good. That's how good it is.
Yeah. Yeah, this thing is too good. This thing that we just broke the windows with a ball bearing.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe I could be the Elon Musk of gates. You know, you've got to take something that everybody doesn't realize needs revolutionizing, and then you just build a culture around it. You build a narrative. You build this idea of, well, you know, at the moment there are a lot of gatekeepers in the gate world, and almost exclusively gatekeepers.
Yeah. I mean, I think... It's like a gate that you could sit on all the time at the furthest end. I mean, because why not just build a tiny house into the gate?
Yeah, you could live your whole life out there on the end of
it. Little skyscraper. Yeah. Little mini, tiny, like, you know, you've heard tiny house. What about tiny skyscraper?
Well, that's a really good idea. How high is it?
I mean, it's about 12 feet.
Yeah, great. So you just sort of, you stand there, you can reach up as high as you can, and you still got heaps of headroom.
But it's, you know, like it's broken up into many floors.
Oh, is it? Right.
Yeah, so there's like stairs up there to like, so that you got to pretty much lie on every floor. Maybe it's like, maybe it goes 20 feet. You know what I mean? Like it's, you slither through it like a snake.
I think,
but it's also built into a gate, Andy, as well.
Yeah, no,
so
that's
like,
good.
You go into one end, through a human sized doggy door, and then every part of it is also a bed.
You
along the way. You slither along. If you need to go to the bathroom, that's at the top. So then you go up to the top, and then then that pours into a tank off the side or whatever, maybe into the fence post. It'd be a great place to store all your pee pee and poo poo.
I think also there's an insight in here about like something that that you can market very easily to some people is a product that allows them to do something they were told they couldn't do as a child. And you know, if both you and I are like there's a deep-seated desire in there, I think, in anybody who grew up around gates to defy their parents and to rebel. And as an adult, subconsciously, you want to be able to climb on that end of the gate because you were told you couldn't by your mum. And
that's right.
We can tap into that to sell things to people.
Oh, absolutely. And people love swinging on a gate, I imagine.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Did you ever get to swing on a gate?
Yeah,
did you ever like to have it like open it up while you were sitting on it?
Yeah, it's great.
And then you probably get scared as it's about to hit the point that makes it stop.
Terrified. Yeah.
Like that. But then this, well, you'll get to experience that all the time when people go in and out of the property that you're kind of like, I guess you've bought the gate of. And then you can also decide, you know, it's like having a granny flat, but it's like having a granny gate.
Yeah, it's great.
Granny gate mini skyscraper that you have to essentially spelunk through.
I'm just spelunking the mini skyscraper gate. What?
What? Spelunking the mini skyscraper. I don't know, Andy.
Yeah,
I
think we did it, Alistair. I think we finished the episode of Two in the Think Tank.
Why do my ideas come out as gibberish and yours seem to come out so well formed a lot of the time?
I like to keep them boring, Alistair. Very close to reality and realistic.
I reckon most houses you could probably split in half through horizontally and have two rooms and be way better off.
It's a great idea.
It's just like walking around is like such an over-the-top luxury.
I think you really are. Like, I think you're a loss to the property development game, Alistair, and you should be making this argument at the, you know, the tenancy tribunal or something on behalf of the nation's property developers, saying that being able to stand up isn't something that people should be able to expect in a rental.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think just being able to, like, you know, imagine somebody takes you back to their place and then the door is half size.
Yeah, or there's a doorknob at the top and there's a doorknob at the bottom and they open the bottom half.
Yeah, and then you crawl in
like
and it's
one
carpet
of those
beautiful
doors
on your knees.
Mm.
Yeah. I think that would be, it would be so nice. And then you would also really be able to make a lot more out of the roof space.
Maybe you could.
Because then suddenly you would be like, well, that seems like we're wasting at least a half a room.
Yep.
Anyway, whatever. Andy, I understand that you want to be done with this. Thank you very much, Nick Bauer.
No relation, possibly.
Let me take us through these sketch ideas. We got cheese bricks as climate adaptation to igloos. We got the cheese glue gun for writing on meals the instructions of how to make the meal. Then we got rennet, but for turning water into its own type of cheese. Mm. Maybe there's one for petrol as well, petrol cheese, and maybe there's one for oil cheese, you know, all that kind of stuff. Maybe vinaigrette cheese, something you could crumble over a salad.
If you're at home right now and you've got a cheese stick and a big glue gun with the space at the back there that hasn't been used, maybe a food grade glue gun, try this out and send us the results. Let us know how you go.
Be nice. Even if you have a craft-based one.
Mm.
You know, you don't see a lot of cheese in just regular crafts, but it's a perfectly viable material.
There's a cheese company called Kraft, and they still don't do it.
That's crazy. Yeah. But they spelled it. They spelled it like craft work, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we got concentrated hydration.
Yes.
That's kids start boiling down water.
Mm.
And then so they get a bit more concentrated water and then they hydrate extreme amounts. Then we've got a convex plate for adults. One of the downsides is that they're all downsides. It's all the downsides. Okay, then we got the toxic mask person who can't take the insult of living inside.
Yes.
That he's not better than a duck.
Yep.
Then we've got fictional listeners. That's for any factual listeners that want to create some, or if we want to create some, you know?
Yep.
Then we've got you got a door, you got a gym, but this is a man called Jim. This is a very good idea that I'm sure you were happy that I wrote down.
Yeah, no, I'm thrilled.
And we've got Andy as the Elon Musk of Gates. And I've just written down here the spelunking the mini skyscraper gate.
Thank you so much for listening to this, the show Two in the Think Tank, with me, Andy Matthews, and him, Alistair George William Trombley Birchall.
That's right. And thank you to those who have joined the Patreon, both a long time ago and some more recently, in order to get to go and be able to go watch My Client is Innocent, in inverted commas. And if anybody else is keen on doing that, you know what? You can. You can.
You absolutely can if you believe in yourself. And anything else to plug, Alistair?
Oh, I appeared on an episode of Wax Quizzical. It's a quiz show, but then they have two guests that are characters, and I appeared as an engineer. So please check out Wax Quizzical, and I appear as a Australian engineer, which seemed weird to everybody because everybody else is in Australia, but they kept making a point that I was Australian because I said I was Australian. Anyway.
Good.
It was very fun. I think we had fun. I hope I didn't. I think I said some bad stuff, but anyway, it doesn't matter.
I listened to it, and you did good.
Thanks, Andy.
And
take care, everyone.
We love
you.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.